Inductees, members of the administration, faculty, parents, and students, thank you. I am grateful for the honor of addressing you, and I am sensible of the responsibility that I bear to say something worthy of the occasion, something thought-provoking and memorable, something that will, in short, blow your socks off. However, I fear your socks are quite safe, for anything I might have to say has already been said many times before, and more eloquently by my betters, some of whom have stood in this place before me. But what I can do today, I hope, is to remind you of some of the things we have heard before, to help us all to remember what the best of us humans have been saying for centuries, but which always bears repeating. So let me begin by offering my congratulations to those students who are being here inducted into the National Honor Society. The honor is given in recognition of the strides you have made toward exemplifying the four pillars of NHS, ideals we must all continue to pursue in following Christ. Those four pillars, scholarship, leadership, service, and character, are encouraging in that they encompass not just the intellect of students, but their whole embodied, soul-animated, image-bearing selves. At least that is the argument that I would like to make today. I don't know if the National Honor Society had exactly these things in mind when it established qualifications for membership, but I know that your teachers did when they made the recommendations. I know that the Geneva School has them in mind in its vision and mission and in its everyday interactions with students and parents as it seeks to promote and engender true humanity. It strikes me that these four pillars of the NHS correspond rather appropriately with four big ideas that have been around since, well, probably ever. They are, after all, godly ideas. Ideas oriented to the perfection of man and fitting his soul for heaven. But our familiar formulation of them we got from the ancient Greeks, which should come as no surprise to us because, as Dr. Tipton can probably tell us, everything good we didn't get from the Bible probably came from the Greeks. I am talking, of course, of those classical virtues of prudence, temperance, justice, and courage. So this is where I would like to begin and I'd like to center our examination over the next hour and a half. That's how long I have, right? Well, perhaps I'll condense my remarks a bit. Don't need that. Can probably lose this bit. The existentialism bit was really good, though. Sorry, just be a minute. I'm just going to... That's no good. All right, here we are. In conclusion... Oh. All right, that might be a bit too far. All right, I'll just start... I'll start with the wisdom of the ages by quoting from no less an authority than Christopher Robin. There is, in my old picture book, a page at which I like to look, where knights and squires come riding down the cobbles of some steep old town, and ladies from beneath the eaves flutter their bravest handkerchiefs or smile proudly, toss down gauges. But that was in the Middle Ages. It wouldn't happen now. But still, whenever I look up the hill where dark against the green and blue the firs come marching two by two, I wonder if perhaps I might see suddenly a shining knight winding his way from blue to green, exactly as it would have been those many, many years ago. Perhaps I might. You never know. Have you ever wished, like Christopher Robin, to see knights and ladies in their shining train? Or better yet, to be one? It's a noble goal, and one which much of the great literature of the past points us to in one way or another. And today, I'm going to call on Professor Tolkien and his great myth, The Lord of the Rings, to help us highlight that goal once again. The first pillar of the National Honor Society is scholarship, which at Geneva School we understand to mean not just knowledge, not just a collection and arrangement of factual data, not just information, but wisdom. The habit of learning how to make appropriate use of knowledge, how to make sense of facts and figures in the light of godly prudence and the good of my fellow man. Prudence, the great 20th century Christian philosopher Joseph Pieper tells us, is the mold and mother of all virtues. It is the shaping power of our minds which transforms knowledge of reality into realization of good. Understood this way, scholarship means perceiving in humble silence, knowing how to receive counsel, and as Pieper puts it, having the boldness to make final decisions. In other words, Gandalf or Dr. Beatus. Gandalf knows that even the very wise cannot see all ends. Gandalf knows that the hope of the future may well lie in the hands of the weak and unnoticed, who believes in the face of overwhelming power that pity may yet rule the fate of many. Leadership is the second pillar, and it seems to me inseparable from the third, service. I'm never quite sure what to make of the discussion of today's students being the leaders of tomorrow. What is meant by this? Are all the students who are told they are leaders really going to stand out front and point the way for the rest of us to follow? If every student across America being told he is a leader actually plays the general and command the troops, we're in for a mess of a battle. A million autonomous souls barking out orders, marshaling his minions to his personal will. Milton invented a word for this phenomenon. It's called pandemonium. In view of the example of Christ, on the other hand, any position of leadership we occupy requires us to sacrifice. It requires humility, putting others first, looking out for the good of those placed under our care. It is acting with temperance for the sake of justice. This word temperance bears definition in our day. We don't use it much or hear it used, and no wonder. While others of the classical virtues may have fallen into disuse or been lost to memory, temperance is actively and vehemently opposed. It is considered a vice. An entitled capitalistic culture has no interest in promoting moderation. The thought that one ought to tell oneself no, or to put off immediate pleasure for the sake of something higher or more distant or unseen, has no place in a society built on satisfying desires and creating new ones to fill those too. But temperance acts more maturely than this. Leadership born out of temperance does not merely seek to be practical. It does not sacrifice the future on the altar of the immediate. It does not seek to get its own, but to do what's right, to see that justice is done. Seen this way, leadership is service. More often than not, true leadership means scrubbing floors and taking responsibility for someone else's mistakes rather than shouting commands or giving rousing speeches. Leadership is passing up the opportunity to seize the one ring from a weak, defenseless hobbit. It is being able to say, I would not take this thing if it lay by the highway. In a word, it is Faramir, the younger son of the steward of Gondor, who passes up power for good. Temperance loves not the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the warrior for his glory. It loves only that which they defend, the city of the men of Numenor, and would have her love for her memory, her ancientry, her beauty, and her present wisdom. A leader is a true knight, the Christian in arms for a good cause, as C.S. Lewis calls him. All of these ideas are brought together, I believe, in the final pillar of the NHS, character. Character is not just a box that we tick on a list. It is not an office that we are elected to, or a title that we are given. Character is who we are, for real, when no one is watching. Character is the soil in which the fruits of scholarship and leadership and service grow. Character corresponds most importantly with the classical virtue of courage. That virtue was C.S. Lewis called the form of every virtue at the testing point. Those of you familiar with The Lord of the Rings can no doubt see where I am headed with my example here. In what is for me the climactic moment of the story, Samwise Gamgee, Sam the gardener, Sam the tag-along, Sam whose name means half-wise, argues with his quote-unquote wiser self, which tells him he is not built for such quests as he is on, that he should stop hoping and toiling. You'll die just the same or worse, the voice inside tells him. You might as well just lie down and give it up. What happens next, you all know, because even if you've only seen the movie, this is one moment the producers actually got right. Sam calls upon what professor Peter Kraft calls deeper wisdom, which answers him, I'll carry Mr. Frodo myself if it breaks my back and heart. So stop arguing. Am I really a scholar? Then my character will show it. I will not merely be a list completer, a box checker, a fact collector, a test passer, a teacher pleaser, a whatever it takes to make the grader. I will be a seeker of truth, a lover of beauty, a pursuer of Christ's calling to true humanity. Am I really a leader? Then my character will show it. I will not be a popularity seeker, a vote getter, an order giver, an out front do whatever I sayer. I will be a servant, a speaker of encouraging words, one who loves my friends well enough not to be dishonest even when they ask me to be a holder of doors and a carrier of packages, a cleaner of floors and a washer of dishes, a burden bearer, a foot washer. So, why is all this important? Why all these definitions and quotations and stories? Because we face a world that is increasingly hostile to the virtues we have discussed here today. And more, hostile to the God who calls us up to them. The Christian in this fight, the knight, puts on over these four virtues, binds up these principles of the NHS in the spiritual virtues of faith, hope, and love. The Christian imitates the scholarship and wisdom of Gandalf, the temperate leadership through just service of Faramir, the courageous character of Sam Gamgee. The Christian imitates Christ. We recognize a dragon as a dragon, even when, like Eustace Scrubb in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the dragon is us. We fight the dragons of the age. We battle the temptations to think that knowledge grants us power, to please ourselves rather than serving others, to demand honor, to give in, to give up. I will end today, as I began, with the wisdom of Christopher Robin. Whenever I'm a shining knight, I buckle on my armor bright. And then I look about for things like rushings out and rescuings and savings from the dragon's lair and fighting all the dragons there. And sometimes when our fights begin, I think I'll let the dragon win. And then I think, Perhaps I won't, because they're dragons, and I don't. Thank you, and congratulations.